It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
What's up with you?
You know, I'm excited. Going to the Mets game later tonight. So. Yeah,
this is radio, so obviously you can't see. But Gemma right now is wearing all Mets gear.
She had a Mets hat today.
She brought her Mets hat in. She's wearing a t-shirt that says Bartolo at the bat with a picture of Bartolo on it.
It's in Mets colors. It's an outdated Mets shirt.
Yeah, it's in Mets colors. Yeah. So he's not a Met anymore, but he once was. And she's wearing an orange sweatshirt.
However, the orange sweatshirt is a Tigers sweatshirt. It's just orange, so I thought it would work.
That's cruel. We also have, from the West Coast, or I don't know where he is. He's a jet setter. I think he's on the West Coast. Michael Clare.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. And I am back in L.A. now, so I've avoided your terrifying East Coast heat wave.
It was bad.
It was pretty hot.
It was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
We do someday need to get Mike Trout on the show so that we can talk about weather.
Yeah, that would be great.
This is the dream.
It's the only thing that we would need.
I really want this to be a weather podcast.
If we only had 10 minutes to talk to Mike Trout, that's what you'd talk about probably.
I don't know what else I would talk to him about. Nothing else. I would talk about the weather. We have a lot to get to today. Obviously, the MPB fish mascot that we love so much.
Yes.
There was a development with him this week that we will get to. Bryce Harper knocked the cover off a baseball this week. Andrew McCutchen pulled off truly a remarkable athletic feat that only was tangentially related to baseball. And then to top it all off, Gemma interviewed the international man of mystery, the most interesting man in baseball right now, the Freeze.
True.
The Braves racing guy. He's amazing. We'll get to him in a little bit. But before we do all of that, the MLB draft happened this week. That was super exciting. And I guess my question to the two of you is, do you have any moments that stuck out in your mind? Do you have any favorite storylines from the draft? Or is there anything with the draft that you will remember other than the individual players themselves over the next years? Gemma, what do you think?
Well, I think the most fun thing is always these random one-off like reaction moments that we get, because that's so exciting. How can you not enjoy watching other people be really happy for this huge milestone in their life, this appreciation of this goal that they've been working for so long? But of course, obviously, to tie it all back into Cut 4 in our interests, gotta love A-Rod reacting to his nephew getting drafted.
It was adorable.
It was really adorable. Just because, you think of A-Rod when he got drafted, the giant phone that he was on, and, like, I'm pretty sure he's wearing, like, all denim for some reason. Like, and then he flashed forward in time, and it keeps going. It's just the story of baseball, passed down through the generations. I like it. I liked it a lot.
I like everything that A-Rod has done post-retirement. I think it's like the dude really, this is the real A-Rod. The guy we all thought we knew was not actually A-Rod. This is A-Rod. And it's great and charming. He's kind of doofy. He's super fun. Claire, what is your favorite moment from the draft?
Well, obviously A-Rod reacting is great. It looks like if there was water, he would have been drowning his nephew, which is always a fun celebration. It's like, I'm grabbing your head and I'm shoving it into a pail of water. For me, though, beyond the great names, the Bro Bros, which to me sound like a duo of Cajun brother superheroes fighting like gumbo-based villains.
That sounds great.
My favorite is in the early rounds, it's all my favorite older players announcing the picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the A-Rod pick, A-Rod's there. His nephew got picked in the first round, so exciting. But Juan Pierre is announcing it. And you don't see Juan Pierre because obviously we're focusing on their reaction. But you hear him talking, and you can imagine he's there in his stirrups. He's stealing a base. Maybe he's being caught stealing. The draft, to me, that is like all my favorite older players that weren't the greatest ever, but were so much fun. And it's like, here we've got new guys. And yeah, maybe one of them or two of them will be like an all-time great, but most of them, you'll just have like crazy awesome memories. And you'll tell like your friends, do you remember when we were at the game and A-Rod's nephew like tripped on his way to second base and he was tagged out and then he made a goofy face? And that we can then tie back to almost being drowned by A-Rod despite the lack of water.
I'm not following this whole drowning thing. I think this is very odd.
I feel like that's an only you thing. I feel like only you think that, and also only you would make that connection in that hypothetical future scenario.
I think Claire is confessing to a murder. I think that's this is like he wants everyone to. He's laying out the clues so that people can connect the dots.
That is true. I've spent decades putting together the perfect murder, and now it's up to you, the listeners, to put the clues together and finally catch me.
Well, at any rate, you skipped over my favorite part, which is the names of the draft. Specifically, I love the Bro Bros because they went in the same round. They were 9 picks apart, which is really cool. One went to the Phillies, one went to the Astros. Joe and Josh. I also like that. Joe Bro and Josh Bro, the Bro Bros.
Wait, so did we determine whether or not they are related to Kale Bro?
I don't believe they are. I went and looked at Kale Bro's Twitter account.
Okay.
And he did not tweet about either member of the Bro family. So there could be yet another third Bro, Kale Bro.
Oh, just to be clear.
Who has the broiest bro?
Listeners, name. It is Bro, but spelled E-A-U-X at the end. So.
Yeah, it's not B-R-O.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were a couple other ones, names in the draft pool. We're not selected, but I think we needed to mention them. That would be Cray Finfrock.
Pretty good.
My personal favorite. Hayden Rosencrantz, who Claire enjoys.
Well, obviously that's going to lead us to eventually doing our baseball version of Tom Stoppard's classic Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. So, I mean, we're just waiting for Guildenstern to come out and they can be drafted back to that.
That's a great point. Also, we have enough theater majors on staff. Gemma recently staged a production of her own in New York City.
I did, yes.
That happened.
I still do the theater.
The theater.
Yes.
Wait, hang on. We should promote your play.
You
we're going
to
talk about
we
your
can
play.
If you want
yes,
to.
Gemma, when your play you wrote and directed and appear in a play called True Right.
Yes.
You can Google it if you want more information about it. But when is it being staged?
It's July 12th through the 15th. So right around when there is no baseball because of the All-Star game, and it's at the New Ohio at the Ice Factory in New York City in the West Village, and it's about George and Jeb Bush, and
you should go check it out.
Very silly.
There is some baseball in there.
There is some baseball.
So you
in
should
there.
Go see it. You should see Gemma's play.
Yeah.
I just felt like we needed
come
to
come see my play.
We needed to promote your play.
It's not Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead about baseball prospects, but you know
that's the next production.
Yeah, that'll come up.
Also, Handsome Monica, need to mention.
Pretty good.
All-time great baseball name. All-time great baseball photo as well. There's that photo of him in like high school trying to block the plate, and it looks like he's doing the Street Fighter thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. That's really good.
But yeah, the names, this is a good year of draft names.
Very good year of draft names.
And if you want to read more crazy draft names that were compiled by our very own Michael Clare into a post, you can go to MLB.com/cut4. Read all of those there.
And you can trust Michael Clare to know the good, weird names.
Gunnar Troutwine, all I'm saying is those parents deserve a hearty clap for naming the child Gunnar and for having the last name Troutwine, which I also hope will be Mike Trout's specialty Napa Valley wine that he'll be releasing in the next couple of years.
I have so many questions. Like, how does one's last name become Troutwine? Like, where does that even come from in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure wine has some, like, Old English or Welsh meaning that we don't understand, but sounds gross. Trout wine.
We'll save that for our name etymology podcast,
which
we'll launch
spin-off
on the Cut 4 Network shortly. Let's move on, though, to the NPB. Let's go to a different country. And the Chiba Lot Marines, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Why not? They have a fish mascot. We learned about him last month. And he has gone through some metamorphoses, and he went through one over the weekend, and it's totally bonkers. I don't entirely know how to describe it. You need to go to MLB.com/cut4 to check it out, because it is truly a visual thing. It is bizarre. It's this fish. It's kind of puffy. And this transformation, it's sort of like shed half its body and emerged as like a head. I don't really know how to describe
it. So, okay. So the mysterious fish, which is what it's called, is new this year. And it started off as just a fish that looked like an actual fish. Like MLB has some fish mascots, but they have arms and legs and they like move around. But it's just fish that like was just there in the grass. It had no legs. It was just flopping around. But then it evolves like a Pokemon. So its second stage is it grew green stripy legs and would like run around and wander around. And its third stage was that its mouth, which is already really open, like shot open more, and then something that is a tongue or a skeleton or bait, maybe, according to one of our commenters.
It kind of looks like a skeleton.
There are bones, but it flops out of, it jumped out of the mouth and discarded the fish body and just ran around in the grass.
And I'm not going to confirm or deny anything. All I will say is that I heard rumors that there may be a potential fourth evolution.
Yeah, well, they also tweeted that the fish after that very trying moment when either its skeleton was evacuated from its body or the bait that was used to catch it escaped, unclear on that. The fish returned to the ocean, but it will come back.
It returned to the ocean.
They tweeted a picture of it walking into the ocean.
So here's a question. This is the question that I have for the two of you. Which MLB mascot do you think is most likely to evolve into some other kind of thing, in some other kind of being?
I don't know why every mascot, every team doesn't have some kind of mascot that goes on this, that has like a story arc that you can follow throughout the season.
It is
Why
brilliant.
Would you not want that?
It
it's
is
so
brilliant.
Cool. Yes.
It is brilliant. My vote for this is Orbit, because we don't know anything about Orbit.
And Orbit is a baby, right?
Yes. And
he's like
he's
a baby
an
alien.
Alien, so yeah. His age doesn't really even matter.
Right, but like we know he's a baby, so what would Orbit look like as a teenager? It could be anything.
Yeah. It could, yeah. So like, yeah. Go ahead, Claire.
The problem with Orbit aging is that he has alien physiology. And as we know from plenty of sci-fi, yes, he's adorable and cute now, but as he goes through adolescence, he'll grow terrifying tentacles. His mouth will open 20 stories high, and it will spew poisonous gases. We have to keep him in stasis at this age for the good of the planet.
I mean, you don't know that. Are you like an Orbit biologist?
I'm going to have to say that seems unlikely to me.
It's
he seems
why
very
I've been
friendly.
Saying we need to examine the body, and the Astros won't let me get close enough to get to the truth of what.
Okay, Fox
he sounds like No, he sounds like the villains in E.T. Like, Claire is the bad guy in every movie where an alien lands on Earth.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we need an autopsy now.
That is horrible.
You're right. Claire is the villain in E.T.
Yes, that is horrible. Claire has been banned, I believe, from Minute Maid Park. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts about the crazy Claire? What do you think about this fish mascot? Do you think MLB needs more mascots that go on emotional journeys?
Yes, I do actually. And I mean, the journey for this mascot is actually a very personal and human one, because obviously our skeletons are constantly trying to leap out of our skin. But I think, you know, there's some, like, I think the pirates should have a ghoulish, treasure obsessed pirate ghost rise out of the water, and the pirate parrot must battle him to save. I don't know why. I have a very, I guess, good versus evil idea for all of these.
I can see that.
But I want, like, I want the Giants to have a 300-foot kaiju-style giant that Lucille has to battle to protect all the fans at the stadium, and it could be a season-long arc. My only concern would be if we have these arcs, as we've seen from summer movies, the third act just gets so bloated. So let's, you know, have these arcs, but let's try and come up with some new storytelling techniques.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to unpack here.
You also don't want all the arcs to just be setting up the next arc.
Yeah.
And then, like, five seasons from now, we all know that, like, Lucille and the Pirate Parrot will team up to take on, you know, a massive northerner from New York.
Okay, but that sounds amazing, okay? Could we, like, you just said, oh, yeah, let's avoid that. But also, can you imagine you're at a Giants game? I don't know, the Giants are, yeah, playing the Yankees in an interleague game, and there's, you know, the giant northerner. And then, like, Lucille's losing. But, oh, what's this? It's Pirate Parrot! Like, tell me that wouldn't be cool.
I mean, the Pirate Parrot might be one of the most underrated mascots.
I love the Pirate Parrot. I love the Pirate Parrot. But I think that, like this, like, the Marines have other major mascots. The Mysterious Fish is just an extra mascot.
Yeah.
Purely, and I kind of like that the only journey it goes on is through its own life cycle, kind of.
It's very meditative.
Yeah. You know, there's not tons of story about that. So there's no reason that another team, like, do you remember, I mean, this is like 3 or 4 years ago, but when there was the random seagull mascot for the Giants,
vaguely,
like no one knew from whence it came. It was just like a mascot sitting on a pole at AT&T Park, and it was a giant mascot seagull with a Giants hat, and it just kind of disappeared. Like, no one ever saw it again after a while.
It's, I mean, DJ Kitty is similar.
Yeah, DJ Kitty is similar. So if there's something else that we can watch evolve, it would be kind of fun to see that, just to like see its life.
So you want a mascot that then goes through like a midlife crisis, like one day it's like, what am I doing? I never wanted to be a mascot.
It buys a Camaro.
Drives away.
Okay, enough of the NPB. Enough of this nonsense.
It's great. Everyone needs to look at this fish because the fish is incredible.
Go to MLB.com/cut4. Check it out. It is insane. Matthew Monaghan, our writer, did an incredible job
following
this.
Really the entire life cycle of the fish.
It's true. He's been our Chiba Lot Marines fish correspondent.
Yes.
So shout out to Matt Monaghan. But let's move on here because something insane happened in actual Major League Baseball, in like real on the field game action. Bryce Harper was playing against the Orioles. I mean, the Nationals were, but really it was Bryce Harper. And he faced off against Orioles pitcher Alec Asher, and he managed to rip the cover off the baseball. Claire, is Bryce Harper the greatest player in baseball history?
Well, no, because there's Ray Ordonez, so that's
right.
Like, that's
okay,
more
second,
but if,
second
I
mean, to Ray Ordonez.
Second or third? I mean, listen, he's a very strong man. I kind of wish at some point he drops his bat and will just batter a home run with his meaty forearms. I mean, everybody wants that.
No.
For the upcoming Players Weekend, maybe he'll rip his sleeves off like Ed Kozuski and then bash a homer with the cover coming off. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a strong man. I want him to have a secret written under a ball. He then hits a home run, the cover flies off, someone reads it. Maybe it's a marriage proposal. Maybe it's a prom proposal. He bashes the cover off the ball, so the cover lands in a fan's lap and says, "Will you go to prom with me?" Signed, Bryce Harper's friend, Derek Crandall. I go to high school in New Jersey. And we have an amazing story that way.
I really like the idea of there being a secret hidden in the ball, and Bryce rips the cover off it. That is a very good idea.
Yes, yeah. That is a very good idea. I like that you made up a fake high schooler. That was fun. It could be like, or the ball should be, it could be like, you know, filled with confetti or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
oh, that'd be fun.
I just think this is the impressive baseball feat. Of all the feats, this is the one that I would like to do. Even more than hitting a home run, even more than making a great diving catch, even more than pitching a perfect game. Ripping the cover off the ball is basically, it's something that viscerally is understandable to everyone, whether you're a baseball fan or not, and just shows off that you are strong and you are awesome and you destroyed the equipment that the game is played with. That is cool.
That is cool.
Anytime that, like when a bat breaks, it's exciting. I really like when the fielders go to make the catch, like the first baseman, and the ball goes right through their glove.
Yeah.
Love all that. Anytime you break the actual equipment of baseball, the baseball itself seems like the hardest one to break because they're swapping them out all the time.
Do you think the Nationals charged Bryce? Because it's like, listen, we understand foul balls, you can't help that, but you broke our equipment and we're like, that's going to cost you $2.37. We'll take it out of your next paycheck.
I bet they did.
Yeah, because they were going to reuse the ball, so, you know.
Other sports leagues, they do charge the players when they give balls to the fans, so. Just food for thought.
Well, okay, so would you rather hit like a home run that barely makes it out, and it's only a home run because it's a small park, or would you rather hit a really long foul ball but rip the cover off the ball?
Rip the cover off the ball every time.
All right. Claire?
Every time.
What's the game situation?
It's like the first inning. It's inconsequential.
Well, I'm not leaving off, am I?
No.
Like, are we talking
like, come on, we're all batting ninth. We know our lives.
Is it a Carlos Gonzalez-style foul ball where it's like, oh, man, like, that is 480 feet. That's the top deck. Are we talking just, like, a foul ball reserve level and it comes off?
It's not, like, a crazy Carlos Gonzalez foul ball.
I'm going to take the home run because I literally never hit a home run because I wasn't strong enough to hit it far enough in Little League and good enough to actually make contact. And if I did make contact, I was too slow to ever get past like second base. So I really want to trot around a field just once.
Here's my thing, though. I'm not even... you guys immediately jumped to Major League game situation. I'm just talking about in life. If we all formed a baseball team and went to Central Park, and would I rather hit a home run or would I rather destroy the baseball? The answer is destroy the baseball.
Oh, that's even worse, because if we're just playing in Central Park, presumably we don't have a ton of extra. So you would just be like, I ruin the game for everyone.
Yes. It would make it so much cooler.
Wow. We've all learned a lot about Dakota today.
You know that would be cool. If the only ball, I was too good at baseball for us to play baseball.
This fits your personality so well.
That sentence.
Troll Dakota, only desire is to do something. We all took the subway out to Central Park. We all got our clothes on. We were ready to play. You come up, first pitch. You break the baseball, and we all then have to take the subway home. Your history's greatest monster.
No, it's great. It's great. You would all be amazed.
No,
you would all. Your jaw would drop. You'd be like, I cannot believe that Dakota just hit this incredible.
This is like the time where I helped Dakota move, and we all went to IKEA to get some stuff, and me and his friend helped him move, and he got chocolate and did not give us any at IKEA.
You know,
he only got chocolate for himself.
I forgot about that, but I'm glad you remember that. I earned it. What can I say?
I just want you to know I was driving the U-Haul, everyone.
Because my mom.
To New Jersey.
My mom asked me to ask Gemma to drive. My mom listens to the Cup One Cast. And she asked me to ask Gemma to drive the U-Haul because she did not believe that. She didn't trust me to drive it. So just think you all may want to know that. But before we move on, we want to take a second to tell you about the Fantasy 411 podcast. Do you want to win your fantasy league this year? If you answered no to that question, you need to rethink some things in your life. Whether you're playing a 10-team head-to-head against your friends or a 20-team expert dynasty format league, Fred Zinke and Matthew Leach can give you the edge. Last week, the MLB fantasy crew discussed a few intriguing names like Trey Turner and Jonathan VR, who, interestingly, I just offered to Gemma in a trade, so I think she needs to listen to the Fantasy 411 podcast to hear about how great he is. Plus, they dished advice for owners of injured stars like Mike Trout and Dustin Pedroia. But before you set your lineup or hit the waiver wire, subscribe to the Fantasy 411 podcast on iTunes today. That is Fantasy 411. Hit enter, hit subscribe, and get all of the amazing fantasy advice that you are looking for. I want to talk about Andrew McCutchen for
a
second.
Let's do it. Let's talk about Andrew McCutchen.
We have resident Pirates fan Michael Clare on the pod. He loves Andrew McCutchen. Andrew McCutchen, so let me take a step back for a second. The Pirates on Sunday afternoon were playing the Marlins. They ultimately won the game 3-1, which, Clare, I'm sure you were thrilled to enjoy that game. Were you at this game?
I was at Saturday's game.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, you missed it by a day. But they almost scored a fourth run in this game thanks to Andrew McCutchen. They were up 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth. They had the bases loaded. John Jaso chopped a grounder to first. And Tyler Moore stepped on the bag for the out and then tried to get Kutch at home. And he threw the ball. Kutch saw this was happening. Kutch was advancing from third base. He saw catcher JT Realmuto at home on home plate. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to vault over him. And he did. It looked like a high jump. It was the most impressive thing I've seen on a baseball field this year. And sadly, he was tagged out. But that does not matter. Because A, the Pirates won the game anyway. And B, it was cool. And I am all about cool things. Gemma, how excited were you watching this
play? It looked really cool. One, it was extremely athletic. And I'm always a fan of extremely athletic, unexpected displays of athleticism on the field. And I think Claire will probably agree with this, is I think it looked extra cool because the Pirates uniforms that day were so sharp. Truly that yellow, like the yellow jersey on top really made this whole thing pop in a way that if they'd been wearing even road grays or whatever, it just wouldn't have looked as cool. It is really about the aesthetics of the uniform plus the play. It's just very striking.
And it's Kutch.
And it's Kutch, who is...
one of the coolest players in MLB.
He's so cool. Yeah.
maybe he's not a superstar anymore, but he's still cool.
He's still a cool guy.
Yes.
And it was a cool play, even though he did get tagged out.
Yeah. Claire, what I want to hear, our resident Pirates fan, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, first, not a superstar anymore. He's hitting .391 since the start of June. So let's pump the brakes on that one.
Okay.
Also, yeah, totally agree. It looks great because of the uniforms. He even made the, by having his legs go up, and like Spider-Man, you can see the bottom of his feet, and the bottom of his cleats are yellow, so it makes up for the fact that he's wearing the, his socks are pulled up, but they're all black, for all black pants. Usually I prefer like a stripe there, you know, break it up a little bit, but then you get the pop of yellow. This, though, really ties to my feeling that we need umpires to be able to have discretion on plays and say, yeah, he was tagged out, but this was so cool, he's going to score the run anyway.
Yeah. There should be a fan vote for one run a game.
Yeah. Scorers can decide, oh, that was an error, that was a hit. Why can't an umpire decide, well, you tagged them, but this was really cool, so... overrule, like, I want an overrule based yeah. on how cool it was. And you know what? If an umpire feels uncomfortable breaking the rules, install me in that role. Install us. Like, we'll, you know, buzz down and say, actually, he was safe. The only problem was it looks like he missed the plate on his way down.
He did.
Yeah, he kind of did.
It's hard. Look, it's hard in the air to adjust yourself.
Yeah,
and, like,
I feel
land correctly.
I feel like that's not a play that you practice.
No.
So
also, Claire, I'm very into this idea of there being artistic points awarded in baseball games. Like, we were talking earlier about monster foul balls. Like, yes, somebody should just be like, you know what? Yes, it was foul, but actually, we're just going to call this a home run because it was too awesome not to be a home run. I think that is a really good idea.
It's also, I'm watching The Gift just over and over right now. It's really weird he doesn't have a skateboard under his feet, because everything he does looks like something I've done in, like, a pro skater. And it really looks like he should have a skateboard right there.
No, like, he's too cool to be a skateboarder. I was almost killed by a skateboarder the other day waiting for the PATH train into New York. I do not have good feelings about skateboarders.
Okay, you're worst, just an old, case. Old man. You're all skateboarders on their skateboards.
He was trying to do this thing where he jumped and flipped the board under his feet like 25 times. And it didn't work ever, and he kept, like, landing on the back and shooting the skateboard out toward me. He's lucky he didn't shoot out onto the tracks. Kutch, if he wanted to be a skateboarder, it would be an incredible skateboarder. He's better than that. He's a baseball player.
I am surprised you didn't take this kid's skateboard, snap it in half, and throw it on the tracks, because you're such a crotchety old man.
Nonsense.
Definitely a rollerblader who takes it super seriously, has all the, like, performance rollerblading gear, and then goes to the park and is like, I'm on my speed trial.
Like, you've never done a speed trial. Don't act like you haven't.
Haven't you actually done a speed trial when you tried those Mike Trout cleats, Claire?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. And I was told I was slower than every major leaguer that this coach, it was, I think it was Gary DeSarcina of the Angels, said I was slower than every major leaguer he's ever coached or played with, except for one.
Wait, I think we can say, was it Benji Molina?
It was Benji Molina.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
hey,
he had a triple, didn't he? So I think
you know what, you were faster than one major league player.
Yeah, I think he might have even been kind, you know, maybe it was one where Benji Molina, like, tripped on a play. Or maybe I can run, you know, faster than Benji Molina for like 60 feet, which I think was what we were, or 90 feet. But for that triple, there's no way I'm getting past second base and still being able to chug along. That's not happening.
Yeah, definitely not. But let's move on here, because we know what you all tuned into this podcast to listen
to. It's true.
And that is the most interesting man in baseball, the Freeze. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been paying attention, the Braves have this genius stadium promotion where they bring a fan onto the field and they race this mysterious man named the Freeze, and they give the Freeze a massive head start.
No, they give the fan a massive
head start. A massive head start, and then the Freeze will catch up to them eventually because he's incredibly fast and will pass them, and it's the funniest thing. I'd laugh every time I see it from each of these things. He's actually a really cool, interesting guy. Gemma, you had the chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I did.
Let's take a listen.
Today on the Cup Forecast, we're joined by Nigel Tulton, who you may better know as The Freeze. He made headlines last week after one of his warning track races at SunTrust Park. His opponent started celebrating maybe a little too soon, tripped, and the freeze came from behind to win it all. Is it the greatest athletic moment of the 2017 baseball season? We think yes, and we are so happy to have Nigel, a.k.a. the Freeze, on the show today. Hi, Nigel.
Hey, how you doing?
So we have so many questions. We loved this moment. We loved your race the next day when you we know you always start from a little bit behind, but you stumbled coming out of the gate and still won. You're just really inspiring to all of us here.
Thank you.
So question number one, who are you? We know that your name is Nigel. We know you're 26 years old, and we know that you work for the Braves. But what else do people need to know about you?
I run track. So last year I was training for Olympic trials and didn't quite make it. So I didn't give up from there, so I'm still training, but this year I'm not competing. I competed indoors a little, and I was going to compete outdoor because I was training for a world championship this year. So I was training to make it to Eugene to try to make the team for Worlds, but I stopped, didn't really compete for outdoor because I was working two jobs at the Braves in security. So this right now, just training, working, and just enjoying life right now.
So you work, I read that you work a night job. You're a security guard, like a midnight to 8 shift, and then you also are taking classes and you're also working for the Braves. How do you juggle so much stuff?
How do I juggle it? I don't know what sleep is, so that's one way for me to juggle, but I just make a plan. I plan out my weeks. I plan out my days. So it works. It works for me.
Well, that's really impressive. I don't know if I could manage the night job, day job at the same time, plus training. And now, what are you taking classes in right now, and where are you taking classes?
Right now, I'm just taking a CPR teacher certification class. It's be certified to teach a class, CPR class, and it looked nice on my resume.
So, why the Freeze? How did you become the Freeze? You said you were running, you tried the Olympic trials, you've been a runner for a long time, but what made this happen?
What made the Freeze happen? Well, it started 2012, that's when I started as a grounds crew for the Braves, and from our location was right side, right foul pole, that's where we came out doing the 3rd and 6th to drag the field and change the bases. And 3rd was all the way out there. 3rd base was all the way out there. So I sprinted all the way from where we come out at, from the foul pole all the way to the 3rd base. And they all noticed, the people on the ground crew, like, gosh, that guy is fast. And people didn't want to go to 3rd because it was so far. And, you know, you run in with a base in one hand and a rake in the other hand. So people didn't want to do it. So I always ran to 3rd and 3rd base. And last year was the final season at Turner Field. So the fan experience, director of fan experience, gave me the chance to do the stolen base challenge, which they continue to do now at SunTrust Park. And you have 20 seconds to get a base from midfield behind 2nd base, 20 seconds down there to get there and get back. So I did it at Turner Field, and I got in like 13, 14, 15 seconds with time to spare. They're like, yeah, this guy, he's pretty fast. So at the end of the season, they was talking about they was going to try to do something at the new ballpark. And they was like, it's probably going to be someone race a fan, and would you be interested? And I was like, sure. So a few months before the stadium opened, they call me and was like, hey, we want you to race the fan. It's from foul pole to foul pole. So I went there and I practiced a couple of times with the marketing guys, fan experience guys. And that's how I became. They told me the name and they was like, we're going to get you a new, nice little uniform to run in. I was like, okay, that's cool. I'll do it. So that's when it happened.
So I'm assuming you don't normally run in basically like a full superhero costume. What was it like adjusting to that?
It was really no adjustment because like those types of suits I wear for track meet, a speed suit, boathouse suit, or short shorts in the top, and it was nothing to me. So it was just adjusting to the goggles I had, the big old goggles I was wearing.
Does that actually change anything for you, wearing the goggles? Does it affect the way you see the race or anything?
The first time I had the goggles on and I had the suit under it, my eyes were covered, so I couldn't see. So the only way I can see is if I look up to the lights of the park, but I can't look up and run. So I just, with me working on the grounds crew, I knew how far the fence was for me. So I just kind of, when I ran that time, I kind of stayed close to the wall. So I knew where I was because I didn't know how far I was close to the grass, and I didn't want to step on the grass.
I'm so impressed. I mean, I already thought you were the greatest athletic hero of our time, but now that I know that you ran your first race basically blindfolded, that's amazing. So how do they pick the fan? Do you get to pick the fan? What is that?
The fan experience guys pick them, or the Tomahawk girls pick them. It's not up to me.
But they really are just like people who are around the park.
Yes, the people that are seeing the game there. Ask them, do they want to run up such and such.
So what's your favorite victory that you've ever had as the Freeze?
My favorite victory?
Mm-hmm.
My last race when I stumbled.
That was so impressive.
I was like, no, I don't know. I kept saying no in my head, like, no. Even though it's not about winning or losing, I was like, no, I want to give the fans something to cheer about. So I was like, I got to go. Like, I got to get my knees up.
It was really impressive.
Yeah, it was fun. It's fun. So,
do you ever think? I mean, we've seen you run some of these. Do you ever think that you're gonna lose? Because to us on the outside, it's just like, oh well, the Freeze is gonna win.
Do I ever think I'm gonna lose? Yeah. You know, I never know what to expect. You know, it's some fast people that come to the game, so I never know what happens. So I just wait till my time to go and just. Hope I come close to winning or whatever, you know. It's all about the fans. I want the fans to be entertained and enjoy the game, the inning, between innings.
Well, that's really nice. And you've been with the Braves since 2012?
Mm-hmm. I've been on the grounds crew from 2012.
So you're from Georgia as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Fort Valley, Georgia.
Shout out to Georgia listeners. have you always been a Braves fan?
Oh, yeah. I'm always a Braves fan. I'm a Braves fan, Hawks fan. Always an Atlanta fan.
So what brought you to the Braves? How did you decide you wanted to work for them?
They came to my school and they was doing this job fair and they was like, hey, you should apply. I was walking by this table. They was like, you should apply. And then I was like, me out of 1,000 people, how would I get this job? So I just applied anyway. I really didn't think I was going to get the job because so many people, you know, like so many people apply for the jobs that was at Turner Field. So I just applied, and then a couple of weeks later, Andrew Worley, he called me and said, hey, you want to work on the grounds crew? And I was like, sure. And he's telling me when to come in and get my stuff and stuff and from game one, what we'll be doing and stuff. So it's fun. I like it. I like the grounds crew. Good guy.
That's great. I mean, I feel like you've learned a lot there, and now you are sort of this iconic figure for this team. So we saw you do some Usain Bolt tribute moves the other day in one of your races. Pretty cool. Who are your favorite athletes?
Track athletes?
Of all stripes.
Track athletes, Usain Bolt, Tyson Gay, Justin Gatlin, Otto Bolden, Michael Johnson, some of the young guys. That's running pretty good right now. Trayvon Bumell, Andre DeGrasse, Christian Coleman. It's a lot of guys that I like and look up to, kind of look up to. Like, yeah, these guys pretty fast. I know one day maybe I could be fast like them. So there's a lot of guys out there in the track world that I like, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Wallace Spearman, he's one of those guys. Yeah, met my freshman year in college. Real nice guy, so.
Is there anyone you like, really want to compete against?
Yeah, one day I see myself competing again. Like, right now, just focus on what I have now, and that's working and just training when I can. So if that time comes for me to compete again, I'll probably be ready. I'm gonna continue to train no matter what. So
good. I mean, we'll be cheering for you, hoping you make it to that next step. Are there any baseball players that you want to race?
Baseball players I want to race? Should I answer that? it's guys out there I want to run against, you know, but, you know, no pressure. I'm not challenging anybody on the show. I'm not challenging anybody at all. I'm just beat the freeze. That's me.
They should really wonder if they could beat you, because I doubt it. I mean, you're pretty fast.
Yeah, there's some fast guys out there, you know. Billy Hamilton, he's pretty fast.
Well, that'll be a perfect segue, actually, into a couple of Facebook questions. Jonathan Lackman wants to know, would you race Billy Hamilton if you had the option? Not to challenge, but just if the chance was there, would you do it?
If I had the chance, yes. But I would race him, but I wouldn't give him a head start. I want it side by side so it can be fair for me.
Yeah, that seems fair. Greg Bergeron from Twitter at AggieGreg06 would like to know, if you were going to race this guy, how much of a lead would you give Bartolo Colon?
Bartolo Colon? I don't know. But, like, people are sleeping on him. He's quick, you know. He might be a pitcher. He's quick, though, you know. Whenever they tell me, if I had a chance to race him, whenever they tell me to go, I go.
That's the attitude for training. I like it. So who are some of your favorite Braves players when you were a kid?
My favorite Braves player when I was a kid? It's a lot of them. Can't name them all. I know Brian Jordan, he's one. Andrew Jones, Chipper Jones, Tony Gravin. It's a few.
Yeah, and a lot of good
players.
I like
everybody from the Braves, to be honest.
So how are you prepping now for your 2018 goals, and what are you thinking about for the next couple years in the future? Is the freeze going to still be around? Are you still going to be training? What do you think is going to be going on?
Yeah, I'm going to be training, yes. The freeze is going to be around until, you know, whenever they stop the freeze. But I'm going to continue to train, and, yeah, so during indoor season for track, it would be off season for baseball, so I'll be able to do indoor, compete during indoor, train for indoor, world indoor. So, yep, I can see myself continue training, and then baseball come around doing Beat the Freeze. So.
So, did you get to pick the name The Freeze, or did they give you that name?
No, they gave me that name. It's a drink at racetrack.
Ah, okay. Have you had this drink?
Have I had the drink? Yes, it's pretty good.
Well, good.
I advise everyone to go buy one today.
Well, I'm glad that you and the drink are proud to, like, be the freeze together. That's really great. All right, let's take another question from Facebook from Chris Outlaw. What is your pregame routine before you're ready to race? What do you do?
My pregame routine, what did I do? It's a secret. I can't tell no one.
That's a good answer.
It's a secret.
You can't give it away, and then they'll know how to beat the freeze, and that would
be... They'll know how to beat the freeze. Just know I listen to music.
No, I like that. You got to keep yourself shrouded in mystery. And then here's a bit more of an existential question from Twitter from Upright Baseball at Upright Baseball. This is very broad, so feel free to answer it however you want, but he wants to know, why are you fast?
Why am I fast?
Yeah.
Just blessed. And I work hard, so.
Yeah. Do you remember your first race ever? Do you remember when you decided, like, yes, this is something I'm really good at?
My first college race, I was in Iowa, and it was snowing. my first ever college track meet, it was snowing. And I ran a pretty fast time in the snow, in the cold, so in the 100-meter dash and the 200. So I was like, man, I could do this in snow, cold. So imagine if I get some warm weather in Iowa, what can I do? Well, had a great freshman year, made it to junior nationals, pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. And that also kind of foretold your future as the freeze.
Yeah.
One more question from Facebook is that your running outfit has kind of reminded a lot of people of a superhero. So Facebook, a lot of commenters want to know, if you yourself could have a superpower, what would it be?
If I could have a superpower, what would it be? Mm-hmm. I want two superpowers. One, to be able to fly, and to run faster.
Those are pretty good superpowers. I mean, ideally, you could just run so fast that eventually you would take off like an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. What would your superhero name be? Would you stick with the Freeze?
My superhero, what will it be? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, the Freeze is pretty solid, and you're well established now, so.
Yeah.
So that was your first race. That's when you decided you could do it anywhere. What do you have to say now? This is our last question before we let you go for the day, but what do you have to say to fans who might run against you over the next couple of months?
Over the next couple of months, what would I say to the fans that's running against me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't beat me. Please don't beat me. No, it's just all fun and games, so entertainment for the fans. So I'm just excited, ready to run again.
I'm excited to see you run again, too. It's really just been the greatest storyline so far this year. We wish you so much luck. We hope to see you competing soon in 2018 on a professional level and also with the Braves forever. You're great. People can follow you on Twitter at BeatTheFreeze. You're delightful. And we hope you'll come back and talk to us soon.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to come back and talk to you guys again.
Yeah, that would be great. We'll do a check-in about how your races are going.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No problem. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you to The Freeze for coming on our podcast. I will only call him The Freeze.
Yes, even though we all just learned his real name. It's all right.
It's
fine. The Freeze.
He's The Freeze.
Yes.
He is a superhero.
Just extremely impressive.
He's what an interesting guy, too. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm fascinated by him.
Really,
I'm fascinated
really cool.
by him, by the mystery of the Freeze. Everyone wants to race the Freeze.
And if you want to race him, just go to SunTrust
Park.
Just go.
If you can race him.
See if you can do it.
I like that he's just on the grounds crew, too.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy doing everything. He is doing everything. And we really do wish him luck in the 2018 track. I hope he makes it. I hope he makes Team USA.
I hope he becomes an Olympian.
Yes.
That would be the best. Claire, what do you think about the Freeze?
I think it's the coolest thing. I want the Braves to sign him and turn him into the next Herb Washington as their strict pinch runner in September. And I can't wait for the reaction when he's supposed to race and, you know, the guy he's racing is like halfway there and everyone's like, where's the Freeze? Where's the Freeze? And then they're like, oh my God, we just saw a blue blur, like stop a bank robbery.
Yeah, that's what we need.
He is a superhero.
He is. What I really want, honestly, is a Braves jersey that says the Freeze on the back.
Those should exist. I would get that.
I would. Yes.
Really
the Braves.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know Braves. I know you're listening.
Yes.
So please make that.
The Freeze, lifelong Braves fan, Georgia boy.
Yes.
Gotta make it happen.
Okay. It is now time to summarize our podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Claire, since you are out in 4 hours ahead of us, we're I guess behind us, we're gonna make you go first. I don't know how time zones
work. That doesn't make any sense. You said I'm ahead of you, so I have to do it, but it turns out I'm behind you, so I still have to do it.
I don't know. You know what? Time zones make less sense than us summarizing the podcast in 140 characters. I will give you a second to think about it.
I already forgot everything we talked
about. I will read to you a tweet we received summarizing last week's podcast.
Oh, that's great.
Related from @BravesStats. This is, I believe, an unofficial account. Mm-hmm. Just wanna get our legal ducks in order. @BravesStats. Old boxes in your attic? You're as likely to find $500,000 worth of baseball cards as Scooter Jeanette is to hit 4 home runs in a game.
That's really good.
That was a good summary.
Wow. At Brave Stats, you're way better at this than we are.
Shout out to you @BraveStats for a much better summary of last week's podcast than any of us could come up with. All right, Claire, give us your summary of this week's podcast.
Okay. The Marines mascot is telling the greatest Bildungsroman in world history, #, no one's colder than the Freeze. There you go. Short, succinct, to the point. Greatest tweet ever. Thank you very much.
Blocked.
Is there you go in the tweet?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to start ending all my tweets instead of like signing them the way like politicians do to show that like they sign them. I'm going to finish them with, there you go. Another genius brain dropping for you. You're welcome.
That is the only good use of Twitter. I will allow that because that is good.
You need to come up with a transliteration. You like how like Tom Hanks signs all of his Hanks. Social media posts H-A-N-X.
That, can I just say that is the most dad thing anyone does?
Yeah, Claire needs to come up with his own version of that.
Okay, enough blathering. Gemma, give us your tweet.
Okay. It is the two greatest heroes of the 2017 season, hashtag mysterious fish, and at Beat the Freeze, and then just a gif of the freeze, one of the hype reel gifs.
Not the gif of him or the fan is like hyping up the crowd and taunting the freeze as the freeze passes him and he falls over.
Actually, no, I'm gonna make my own hype gif of the fish skeleton leaping out into the outfield, and then it cuts to the freeze hype reel of him doing the Usain Bolt thing. I'm making the gesture.
We're all
I can't
doing
see
it
because
it's the coolest.
And then shushing.
Can I just say that that is the greatest contribution of Usain Bolt to humanity? Is that thing? It's so fun to do. Okay, here is my tweet. Period at MLB needs its own mascots. Period. Here are two: colon at Beat the Freeze and a baseball that he hits the cover off of, period. Hashtag cup forecast.
That was labored at best.
I think that would be good.
I would like to
MLB
see that.
Needs a league mascot, and I think
like
a baseball
that.
Getting yeah. cover hit off it would be awesome.
Wait, the mascot is the baseball that is like damaged?
It's a baseball, and then the freeze hits it.
But the baseball
the bat,
is also
the,
a mascot? It,
yeah, the
so
baseball
what I'm
is a mascot.
Is it's like Mr. Met gets his head broken. It sounds really sad.
No, it's the baseball's happy. It's like a, it's like a.
Do you think Mr.
Like
Met would be happy if someone hit the cover?
No,
off him?
It's a different. It's not Mr. Met. It's a different baseball.
But is it related to Mr.
No,
Met?
No, it's unrelated to Mr. Met. Unrelated to Homer the Brave. Unrelated to Mr. Red. Mr. Red Legs. All of them. Different family altogether.
Okay. But of the same, like, species. No.
This is terrible. This is terrible. You're all mean. Retweet
like
my tweet.
You're murdering a mascot. That's what I'm thinking from
this. This is taking a dark.
It all back
if
into
you have a tweet,
murder.
If you have a tweet that more accurately, well, this has gone totally off the rails, the more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us, at Cut4, with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We will retweet the best ones. Go to MLB.com/cut4 to read all of the things that we discussed today and many, 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 many more. You can go to Facebook.com/cut4 and like us, and then our content will appear in your newsfeed. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. Hey, Twitter just redesigned everything. You can go see our redesigned page. It's probably the exact same, but you should follow it nonetheless. If you have any moral quandaries or life questions or questions about baseball, questions about Gemma's play, questions about any weird thing that Claire said today, you can email us cut4cast@mlb.com. That's cut the number 4 cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. If you go to iTunes, you can subscribe to this podcast by typing in Cut4Cast. Hit subscribe button. You can rate us 1 to 5 stars. You can actually write out a review. Do take the time to do that. It helps other people find the show. Michael Clare, thank you for appearing on this week's episode of the Cut4Cast.
Thank you, guys, and you'll never catch me. You'll never put the clues together, ever.
Gemma, as always, thank you for appearing on the Cut4Cast.
Of course.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.